Hallelujah, Christ is risen. In honor of our Savior Jesus, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while and I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, serving as the basis of our meditation this morning, has been written by the Holy Spirit through the evangelist St. John, where we hear these words just spoken and Jesus emphasizing in the last verse, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Our meditation this morning is titled, "God's Love is the Key." Please be seated. Ask any child the question, "What is love?" And they'll give you some really cool answers. They'll say butterfly kisses. They'll say hugs. They'll say, "Mom makes breakfast for me." They're very pragmatic in how they understand love. They see that love is what love does. And yet love is a very complicated subject. I mean, sometimes we're not even exactly sure as to what we're talking about when we're talking about love. It's so complicated. Now, in other languages, there are different words to describe different kinds of love. And it's interesting, in the Greek, the New Testament language, there are four and counting that talk about different kinds of love. And in our English language, We use one word, love, for all the different words that are different kinds of love. And so it can be quite challenging to figure out what love we're talking about. Love is. So just for the sake of clarifying the love we're talking about, let's talk about some of the things we can love. How many of you love golfing more than maybe your spouse appreciates? Or how about beer and pretzels? Or how about fishing? Or how about being lazy? We can love things to excess. We can love all kinds of different things. And it's not that they're all bad. It's just that when we start going excessively into them, we're practicing what is called hedony. And we get the word hedonism from it. People of excess. How many of you are on Facebook because you love it and you love it more than you really should? This is hedony. That's not that it's all bad. It's just that Less of a diet of it is better for us. And even though you might love it, you might want to love it just a little bit less. And then there's another kind of love. It's eros. It's mother bear love. Don't mess with my kids. It's papa bear love when the basketball game is going on and the referee doesn't call the foul and Papa Bear gets pretty big and glandular. That's eros. It's a strong kind of love that a husband and wife can have for each other, which is legal, and the best way to curb all the eros that can happen in inappropriate ways in sexual relationships. It's don't mess with my friends, and the enemy of my friend is my enemy too. It's tribal. It's don't mess with my family. Don't mess with my friends. Don't mess with my cowboys. Don't mess with Texas. Yeah, it can be very strong. I mean, it can be, oh, wow, I didn't mean to hit that button. And then there's phileo. We like a lot of things. We love a lot of things because they help us. We love our neighbors because they don't drive on our sprinkler heads. Maybe they even help us with some of our weeds when their weed control sprays on parts of our yard. And we like that. We love that. And it's very pragmatic. It's very useful in all kinds of ways. We love all kinds of things that way. But it's not that deep-seated as eros. And it's not a compulsive thing that drives us in ways that hedony does. And we're all good at all of these kinds of love. It's what comes to us naturally. And of course, that's the reason why God had to send his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a different kind of love we're talking about there, even though it's the same word in the English. It's agape. It's supernatural love. It's unconditional love. It's the kind of love that God loves us with, which is really wonderful news. It's nice to know that he doesn't love us in sinful ways, but rather in agape ways. Agape ways. And that's good news. But here's the bad news. Let's read it together. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So here's our Savior's outreach plan. To the extent that God's family shows love to each other, guess who gets it? The unbelieving world. To the extent that we don't love each other, we provide no witness and no testimony to the unbelieving world. And we're talking about agape love here. You spit on my face and I love you. You smash a crown of thorns on my head, I love you. You nail me to a cross, I love you. That's the way we're supposed to love each other. And the answer is, yes, it's a command. But hopefully that works in you, as it does in me, a sense of repentance. Perhaps even a silent prayer that says, Lord, forgive me for all the ways I am so unloving in my efforts to love. And keep in mind, some of the efforts that you and I can love are hedonistic. We love that kind of. They can be eros, very strong. You know, the mother who wants to put a bubble around her kids. Or heap these incredible expectations on. The tribal kind of love isn't the kind of love Jesus is talking about. Or the like. The like kind of love, to take advantage of the people around us because, well, they serve a purpose for a time. We are to repent of all that kind of love. And we are to ask the Lord to teach us how to love. Because this is his plan. As we care for each other unconditionally, as we show people what it means to be the disciples of Jesus and how we're learning to love differently, we provide a testimony to a world who longs to be loved this way, who's in bondage to all the other ways of love that aren't serving any good purpose but to consume them and hurt them. This is the kind of love that we are to have for each other And yet we must all confess that this is a challenge. You know, we live where when people speak ill of us, we speak ill of them. When they gaslight us, we gaslight them. When we want certain things a certain way, we manipulate and control, or we play the victim. That's not love, as much as it might be love in different languages that has nothing to do with real love. But love is more than just a quality. It's more than just a characteristic that we want to foster in our kids or our grandkids. Love is actually a person. John says it this way in his epistle, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." It's from God. It's not from us. When you ask a little child, where does love come from? They might say, from the heart. And then you'll have to say, well, it's not our hearts, honey. It's from God's heart. But we can learn to love from our hearts, honey, as we experience God's love. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So more than just a character trait or a personality, it's a person. It's a noun. Love is God, and that's really good news. So love equals God, and God equals love. So love is a noun, but love is also a verb. If you're following me in this, it's so cool to think about how God is love. Now, in Lutheran theology, we like to distinguish the law and the gospel. The gospel is all about God's love. It's what God does intrinsically as and in a part of his essence, what he does as God. And what's interesting, in our theology, we talk about the alien work of God, that which is not his nature or his essence. And that's the law, and that's the judgment that God has against our sin. We call that the alien work of God. How's that for a little bit of trivia? The alien work of God is the law that shows our sin, condemns our sin, and increases our sin by our justification, our excuses, our self-righteousness, and all that. But God is love, and God loves to love us this way. I mean, isn't it nice to know that God does not love us sinfully, but unconditionally, according to who and what God is intrinsically? God is love. And bless you, bless you. And he goes on. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. So now it's a verb. So God is love, and then he made it happen. Check it out. It's really cool that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. So he sent his son into the world. Wow. Read the Gospels. If you want to see love in action as a verb, read and see how Jesus is received by the world. I mean, let it be. It doesn't take that long to read a gospel. Man, read the Gospel of Mark this week and think to yourself, I'm going to see what God is doing in love. I'm going to see God as a noun, functioning as a verb. I know it's crazy talk, but I want to see what he does and how his love is received. And it's fascinating to see how some accept his love and receive his love and others don't. But that's what God is doing. He's going into the world so that we might live through him, so that we might, like we sang moments ago, come alive, come out of our ashes, that our dead hearts would become alive, that our bones would be filled with life. And it goes on. in this is love, not that we have loved God, because we can't unless we've been loved first by God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitutionary atonement. That's what that big word means. He took our place. He died in our place for our sins on the cross. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's what it's about. And so this love is different. And as much as we've talked about love, maybe we haven't looked at what it looks like other than seeing what Jesus does in the Gospels. And so Paul helps us in the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul is talking with a congregation working as the spiritual father of the church, and they have all kinds of problems. They have all kinds of struggles. And so Paul is shepherding them as the spiritual father they need, and he's working them through all kinds of challenges, and then he says, I will show you a more excellent way. And then he talks about love and what love is all about. And he goes this way. We won't belabor the point of chapter 13, but Paul explains what love is. Love is patient and kind, helpful. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And here the temptation of thinking of it as a characteristic of our personality or a trait. Keep in mind, God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy or boast. God is not arrogant or rude. Even more so, Jesus is patient. Jesus does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. This is the way that God would have us learn to love, even as he loves to love us this way. Paul goes on, love or God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Boy, does this kind of love mess with us or what? Amen? This is not the way we love. And yet this is the way we are being loved. And in God's school of love, he's teaching us what it means to love this way. And we can love because we've first been loved. And we are being loved by God for Jesus' sake, unconditionally, supernaturally, always lovingly. And it's absolutely amazing. And then every once in a while, we get glimpses of this love. A nurse wrote this many years ago. It goes this way. It was a busy morning when an elderly gentleman in his 80s arrived to have stitches removed from his thumb. He said that he was in a hurry because he had an appointment at 9 that morning. I took his vital signs and had him take a seat, knowing it would be well over an hour before someone would be able to see him. I saw him looking at his watch and decided, since I was not busy with another patient, I would evaluate his wound. On exam, it was well healed, so I talked to one of the doctors, got the needed supplies to remove his sutures and redress his wound. While taking care of his wound, he began to talk with me, and I with him. I asked him if he had another doctor's appointment this morning, as he was in such a hurry. He told me no, that he needed to go to the nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. I then inquired as to her health. He told me that she had been there for quite some time and that she was a victim of Alzheimer's disease. As we talked, I asked if she would be upset if he was a bit late. He replied that she no longer knew who he was, that she had not recognized him in 5 years. I was surprised and asked him, "And you still go every morning even though she doesn't know who you are?" He smiled and said, "She doesn't know me, but I still know who she is." I had to hold back my tears as he left and thought, that's the kind of love I need. Well, That's the kind of love we all need. And that's the kind of love God gives. He loves to love us through the good, the bad, the ugly. He loves us like no one else can. And yet that love has a way of messing with our other forms of love so that they're not so appealing anymore. And so we walk a little closer with the one who always loves us and cares for us. You know, this is the kind of love that we are being schooled in again today. Not just here, but it started before we got here in the way that we interacted with the people in our homes. It'll be a kind of love we'll learn more about as we interact with our neighbors, as we go to work, as we deal with challenges, as we work through the issues of our lives. Because we've been enrolled in God's school of love, He will see to lessons and opportunities for us to be loved this way and to share this love with those who need it just like we do. And all of this is possible because of what God is doing through His Son. You see, God loves to love us, and His love for us is perfectly. And we are learning what it means to love Him in the same way, even as we learn to love the people around us. But no matter how long you and I live, we'll still be in that school learning what it means to love because we've first been loved. But keep in mind, throughout today and this brand new week, God's love is the key. God's love is the key. God's love, His unconditional, supernatural love is the key. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.